There's something that's highly unusual about Parshat Vayetze. Parshat Vayetze has 148 psukim. And it's one long parsha. Now what do I mean when I say that it's one long parsha? If one takes a look at a Sefer Torah, one notices that the psukim of the Sefer Torah are divided into what appears to be paragraphs. You'll have a number of psukim, and then a space, and then you begin what we would call a new paragraph. And they very, very often appear in the Torah what we call parshiot. There's a parsha ptucha and a parsha stuma, but each of these paragraphs is called a parsha. And they appear every number of psukim. And Chazal tell us that the reason that the Torah was divided into parshiot was to give Moshe Rabbeinu time to reflect on what he's learned, to pause, to take a look, examine, think about it, and then go on to the next parsha. But Vayetze is very unusual. It's 148 psukim in one long paragraph, without any breaks. Neither Parsha Ptucha nor Parsha Stuma. You open up a Sefer Torah and it's one big paragraph. 148 psukim. Why? What's the reason behind this? If we take a look at the beginning of Parshat Vayetze, Yaakov Avinu seems to be in trouble. At the end of Parshas Toldos, his mother told him to go and do something, to pretend that he's Esav, and he goes and he listens to his mother. And then his world begins to fall apart. His brother hates him and plans to kill him. And Yaakov Avinu has to run away from home. He has to leave Eretz Yisrael, not because there's a famine, as Avram did, as Yitzchak may have wanted to do, but because his brother is out to take his life. He has to say goodbye to his family, to the land that he grew up in, and he doesn't know what's going to happen. Will he ever see his mother again? Will he ever see his father again? He has a dream which the Malachim of Eretz Yisrael are leaving him. Will he ever see them again? Will he come back? He's going off to Haran to live with Lavan, a person who's known for his trickery, Lavan HaArami. Will he survive? Will he find an appropriate wife? Will he be able to raise a family? And he has no idea. And we take a look at this and we stop and we think, why? Why should this have happened to Yaakov? Why should he have to suffer? He was doing the right thing, as we spoke about last week. It was a nevuah that he had to do it this way, possibly. He was Mekayim Kibbureim. His father agreed. And as people say in the cynical saying, no good deed goes unpunished. And if we were to stop somewhere at the beginning of Vayetze and take a pause, all we'd be left with is questions of why. And in this case, the Torah tells us, don't pause. If you stop in the middle of the story, it doesn't seem to make sense. You're only left with questions. But if you continue from the beginning of the story to the end of the story, and you do it all in one breath, all in one paragraph, and you don't pause, and you get to the end of Vayetze, and you see that all of a sudden, Yaakov, who left the Malachi Eretz Yisrael behind, comes back at the end of the parsha and is greeted by the Malach Eretz Yisrael. He who had to go into Galus has returned to Eretz Yisrael. He who had no idea whether he'd be able to find an appropriate wife or to be able to raise a family comes back with his wives, with tzidkaniyals, with, at this point in time, 12 children, 11 boys and one daughter. And he's headed back home. And at the end of the day, he survived Lavan. He seems to have survived his galus, survived the terrible ordeal. And we can breathe a sigh of relief. The Torah doesn't split it into paragraphs. Because sometimes when you stop in the middle of the story, all you're left with is questions. Read to the end, and things will make sense. But at the beginning of the story, at the beginning of the parsha, Yaakov doesn't know that. And the Torah begins by telling us, Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva vayelech Harana. He's leaving Eretz Yisrael. What's going to be? Vayivka b'mako. What is Vayivka b'mako? Chazal tell us saying, Pegia l'lashon tfila. Yaakov Avinu decides to daven. But it's a different kind of daven. See, Avraham had established Shachris. And Yitzchak had established Mincha. But those are davenings, those are tefillos that take place during the day. And during the day you have clarity. You can see what's going on. Things make sense. But Yaakov Avinu, Vayivga b'makom v'yolon sham kiva hashamesh. The sun set, and there's darkness. And when there's choshech, and when there's galus, you have to approach your avodas Hashem in a different way. It's not enough to have the shachris of Avram or the mincha of Yitzchak. You need a new tefillah. You need a tefillah of arvis, a tefillah of ribuvia. And things are mixed up. You don't really see what's happening. That's the tefillah that Yaakov was metake on his first night, headed into Galus, and not sure where he was headed. There's something amazing if you take a look about the tefillah of Arvis, about what we say when we daven Ma'ariv. The Gemara tells us that there's a machloket. What should the language of the bracha be for the second bracha of Kriyat Shema? Should the second bracha of Kriyat Shema begin with Ahava Rabba, or should it begin with Ahava Sola? So some Rishonim suggest, I'll tell you what, we'll say Ahava Rabba in the morning, by Shachris, and Ahava Sola at night, by Ma'ariv. That's the minhag of Nusach Ashkenaz. Some kind of pshara, compromise, keep everybody happy. It's more than that. See, in Shachris, when it's daytime, when there's clarity, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ava is Ava Rabba. It's great. It's wonderful. You can see it all over. And we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love is just unending. It's Ava Rabba. But at night, when there's uncertainty, when we're surrounded by Choshech, when we're headed to Golos, we don't quite see the Ava Rabba. But what we know is that there's Ahavas Olam. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love is eternal. We may not quite see it at this point, but it never departs. It's always there. In good times and in difficult times. And that's why when we say the bracha after Kriyat Shema, during the day we say Emes, the Yatziv, the Nachom, the Kayam. Kadosh Baruch Hu is Emes v'Yatziv. Everything is there, everything is stable, everything is upright. And at night it's different. at night it's emes ve'emuna. We don't quite see it. Things aren't so stable. Things aren't so upright. Things aren't so clear. But there's emuna. There's faith that no matter what is happening, no matter what we can't understand, there's emes and there's emuna. And that's the tefillah that Yaakov Avinu established when he left his family's home, his parents, and Eretz Yisrael, running away from a murderous Esav, going into Golus. It's not Shachris. It's not Mincha. It's a new relationship that we have with the Ribono Shel Olam. Last Tuesday, the sun rose in Yerushalayim a few minutes after 6 o'clock in the morning. And at 7:01, the sun set. The Tefillah Shachris, the people were in the middle of davening. Chazaras HaShatz, that had just begun, came to an abrupt end. Shachris was over. And darkness descended. And once again, Halacha b'yadua, she'Esav sonei Yaakov. The hatred of Esav once again manifested itself. Although this time it wasn't Esav, it was his father-in-law, Yishmael, the one who the Torah describes as Pera Adam, the man who is more beast than human. And although the Shachris ended, the Tefillah didn't end. Because it's at a time like that that we turn to Yaakov and we begin to pull on the reserves of Tefillat Arvit. There isn't clarity. There's confusion. The Avaraba isn't so apparent. The Avasola, the eternal love, we know is always there. We may not be able to say Emes v'yatziv v'nochon v'kayim v'yasha, but we can say Emes v'yamuna. And it's on those wellsprings, those reservoirs of emuna, that we draw forth and continue in our avodas Hashem. On Tuesday, Rabbi Katz spoke with you, and he told you that different people react differently. Some will react this way, some will react that way. And there's no right way. There's no one way. There are many appropriate reactions. And I agree. On one condition. That at least we react. Because if we don't react, Rambam tells us that we're in great trouble. The beginning of Hilchos Taanios, the Rambam says that when a tzara happens to the tzibur, says, Mitzvas asim in haTorah lizok ulahariya, one has to cry out, one has to begin to engage in tshuva. And that's an absolute requirement. Because if one doesn't react, if in the Lashon of the Rambam, one says, Davar ze mimina ga'ola mira lanu, v'tzara zu nikre minikreis, this is the way things are. They happen. And we go about our regular business. Harei zu derech achzorios. This is cruelty. Do you know why it's cruelty? V'gorem eslem lidobek b'maseyem harayim v'tosif hatzara tzaras acheros. Because if we don't react, it only makes things worse. Last week I was talking to Mo about the events in Hanov. And he said to me, someone had asked his brother, he says, why did it have to happen? We're in the middle of davening. When we're wearing talis and tefillin. Why? Why? Why dafk then? His brother said, because when it happened before, and they weren't wearing talis and tefillin, and it wasn't in the middle of davening, we didn't react enough. When a patient is sick, the doctor provides medicine. And if the mild doses, if the milder medicine doesn't work, then you need stronger doses. And if that doesn't work, you need something even stronger. There's a sick patient. It's called Am Yisrael. Spiritually, we're not as healthy as we should be. Because if we were where we should be, none of this would be happening. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu starts off and he sends us a mild dose of medicine to wake us up. And if we don't react, if we look upon this with achzorius, with cruelties, things happen like this. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no choice to save the patient. He has to send a stronger dose of medicine. Had too many strong doses of medicine. We need to react. But not to start pointing fingers and saying it's because of this person or this group or that group. Because of what they do or they don't do. The only person we can point a finger on or at is at ourselves. Each person. There isn't a person in this room, in this city, in this nation, who can't find something that they need to improve. Because none of us are perfect. And we can't afford to wait until Yom Kippur to start working on this. One thing. At least something that each and every one of us has to think about. I'm going to work on this. Something that I haven't been doing that I should start. Something that I have been doing that I need to stop. Whatever it is. Ben Adam LaMakom, Ben Adam LaChavero. I don't have to tell anybody about it. It's just between you and the Ribbono Shel Olam. But there has to be something. We can't afford not to do anything. How many wake-up calls does the Kadosh Baruch Hu have to give us? How close to the tragedies do the tragedies have to be before we wake up and say, I need to do something. Modern Hebrew. The term used for a terrorist attack in this country is called a pigua. And that term appears
twice in this week's parasha. The first time is Vayivga Bamako. Yaakov Avinu is surrounded by uncertainty. And he's Vayivga. And that's the antidote to the Pigua. Vayivka's tefillah, his introspection, is internalizing the fact that there's Ahava Sola, strengthening our Emes V'Amuna. That's at the beginning of the parsha. And that's what we need to do. And if we do that, Parshas Vayetze doesn't take a break. It keeps going and going, pasuk after pasuk. And don't stop. Don't take a look and say, I don't understand why. Just take a look and see what you need to do. Don't ask why, ask what. What should I be doing? What does my Vayivga Bamakam, what does my tefillah tell me I need to do? Because if that's what we do, then we're zochet to reach the Lashon Vayivgu at the very end of the parsha. V'Yaakov halach l'darko Vayivgu vo malachei Elokim. Yaakov, who had left Eretz Yisrael so much long ago and had said goodbye to the Malachi Eretz Yisrael, has now returned. And the Malachi Eretz Yisrael come out to greet him. That period of uncertainty, that period of galus, has come to an end. Vayomer Yaakov kasher ra'a machane Elokim zeh. These malachim, they're the machane Elokim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his entire camp has come out to greet us. I've returned. And he's returned. And once again, we are together. It's no longer my machana here and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's machana there. We're one machana. Vayikra Shema Makom Ahu Machanayim.